heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. A ringing in my ear, a signal of something. The secret is hard to decode. Another country is nothing but another disguise. Will another false ending ring another true start? I've been studying the map of your name. Remember on the night you came, I made a mess of things. I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. Or a random act of love. It's never enough just to remember what you promised. It's better to know by heart. Words are the hunter, but where is the song? By vision possessed. If we're blind by association, till death do us part. I've been studying the map of your name. How in 78 I made a mess of things. But I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. Or a random act of love. A ring from my ear close to your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. Another false ending, another true start. I would never put a hole through your heart. It's never enough just to remember what you promised. I would never put a hole through your heart. If words are the hunter, till death do us part. I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. Or a random act of love. I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart. I would never put a hole through your heart.
Random Act of Love, Amy Madden, from an album, a short album, four or five songs called Minor Disturbances. Pretty song. Good morning. My name is Sharon Griffiths, and you're listening to a show called Heresy, where radio speaks with a woman's voice, whether it's crying or singing or hoarse and nasal as mine is this morning. I have, not to complain, mind you, but I have a massive, what I take to be a sinus infection, which has spread to my eye and my ear. Since all these passages in your head are connected, when one gets in trouble, they all seem to. So I have a cough that would shatter the diaphragm on this microphone that I'm speaking into, seeing as how it shatters my diaphragm almost every time I do it. And I will try to keep that off the air as much as possible this morning, although it's not easy. If you hear any unexplained silences in the middle of either my talking to you this way or when I'm reading, it will be because I had to turn my microphone off, make some incredibly embarrassing and awful loud noises, and then turn it back on again. So we'll have to cooperate with each other this morning. Now, we are doing a membership drive. We are in the process of trying to get some new members here. New membership goals. I'm rattling papers, I know, I'm sorry. 1,500 plus is our membership goal for this spring. A regular membership is $50 a year. And that is indeed, as it says here on the paper, less than a dollar a week. That doesn't sound like a lot, does it? So, our student and senior citizen membership is $25 a year. We have some standard giveaway on every show type premiums for membership pledges above and beyond the call of $50. Those being the WBAI tote bag, new and improved, larger than last time, it says on the Dazzy Bow that I'm reading, $65 for a pledge. That's 15 over the regular pledge. A WBAI baseball cap, also for a $65 pledge. A BAI t-shirt, blue and white with dove, $65 pledge as well. The Best of the Lecture Series package. Edward Said, Doruba Bin Wahad, Noam Chomsky, Michael Parenti, Helen Caldicott, and others speak about the New World Order. Ha ha. Four 90-minute cassettes for a $100 pledge. War Crimes Tribunal highlights featuring Ramsey Clark, who is a whistleblower extraordinaire on what was going on in the Persian Gulf, and others with eyewitness testimony of the U.S. war on Iraq, $75, $25 above the regular pledge of $50, and Icarus, literary journal, quarterly publication from writers around the world, one-year subscription. I don't see the copy in here, but it says see copy in here, but that's okay. I'll take their word for it. I believe I've heard of the journal, seeing as how I'm a small press maven myself. That's available for $60, $10 over the regular membership pledge. Now, on my show here on Heresy, I am offering as a special incentive or gift to the people who listen to this show, my own magazine, my own small literary publication, which is called Metis, M-E-T-I-S. Metis was Athena's mother, Athena being the goddess, the Greek goddess of wisdom, who sprung fully formed from the head of Zeus, and people think that she was a miracle of parthenogenesis, that Zeus gave birth to her. Sorry, wrong. Zeus came along and in his typical Zeus-like male fashion took advantage of, shall we say, Metis, who was a titaness, one of the gods, the race of gods who are older than the Greek patriarchal pantheon of gods. He took advantage of her. He had his way with her. Then he heard some poop somewhere that if he fathered a son, that son was going to unseat him as king of the hill. So he got all upset. And seeing as how there she was with this swelling belly, as they say, he swallowed her. He just gobbled her right down. And because of that, Athena was born from his forehead by way of Metis, who was slowly digesting in his tummy. And the motto of my publication is, you can't keep a good woman down. And that's a little Hellenistic humor there. So Metis is a publication I started almost a year ago. The first issue was summer 1990. It's a quarterly. It is a 12-page magazine with a cover. It is produced, edited, designed, and fortunately no longer totally written solely by me. I have developed, it's kind of hard to develop a network of people to submit to magazines, although there are many poets and writers out there who submit to things like crazy, but you have to get the word out first. And I haven't really been able to until recently. I was listed, Metis was listed, in the Council of Literary Magazines and Press Directory. And I'm also taking out a classified ad in Poets and Writers magazine to get submissions. So we're going to start really rolling with material very shortly, I have no doubt. Metis will be available, a one-year subscription to Metis will be available to anyone who joins our BAI family between now and 7 a.m. for a regular subscription price of $50. Nothing over and above. That is just to offer an incentive to get people motivated at this hour of the morning. Now, we, of course, take MasterCard and Visa. You can pledge on your MasterCard or Visa. And new members are more than welcome. And for new members who may not know our number, our pledge number is 279-3400. And there is actually someone, at least one person, answering phones at this time of the day. So if you would like to call in and pledge during this show, please, please do. We need new members as much as new members need WBAI. Not just this show, certainly. There are shows on this station to fulfill just about everybody's needs, as far as their interests, be it political, literary, artistic, whatever. And we're turning things around. We're coming back to the cutting edge, I think, of political reportage. And soon, I would hope, back to a literary and artistic cutting edge. Our new arts director has a vision. Some people say that it's sort of like the vision John the Baptist had, or John who wrote Revelations, but it's a vision nonetheless. And it's exciting. It's a, I'm excited by him, just through his sheer dynamic. The man is here at 4 o'clock in the morning. The man's here when I get here. And we talk about stuff. He's always available, which is really neat. So there is perhaps some up incentives, some upbeat incentives for helping this station out, for joining this station, joining as a member of this station, with all of its inherent rights and privileges, whatever they may be it just a clear conscience when you turn your dial to 99.5 FM, saying, yes, I'm helping here. I'm helping do something. Now, I was a little confused. I'm often a little confused, but this specific time, I was a little confused about why, if our spring marathon was so doggone dadgum successful, and we raised piles and piles of lovely, lovely money. I wasn't doing my show, not the spring marathon, the winter marathon, during the Persian Gulf crisis or seizure or cramp or whatever they're calling it nowadays. I was not on the air yet at that time doing Harris, this particular show. But we did raise piles and tons of wonderfully needed funds. And people are I was one of them wondering, well, gee, if we were raising all this lovely money and all these wonderful funds and did such an amazing job and of getting members and getting listeners and all that, why in the world are we turning around and pulling out our pockets and showing that they're empty and opening up the change purse and the moth is flying out only a couple of months, a scant few months later? And the reason behind that is the old adage, the old marketing adage, and I'm sort of in marketing, but in sort of a Robin Hood fashion, I'm in nonprofit marketing. The adage being, you have to spend money to make money. And that seems to be what we did. We had to put up as much money, almost, to bring you that incredible coverage and that defiant coverage where we were pointing fingers, blowing whistles, and naming names. We were very busy here. We had the finger-pointing and whistle-blowing Olympics of just the wool that was being pulled over everybody's eyes during the Persian Gulf thing. And that cost bucks. And now we're basically back to jump, back to square one. And we have to start all over again. And that's nothing new for us. We've been recreating ourselves for, lo, these many thousands of years. What is it? 31 years. It only feels like thousands. The tally is standing at $46,275. And we are, our goal is, let me rattle some more papers. Where did it go? There it is. Our goal is $300,000. And that sounds like a lot of money, but what the hey. We can do it. We've always done it before. And the way we do it is, oh, I have made a $25 pledge so far. Thank you so much, Telly. That's how we do it every time. We just sort of look at the abyss, and we look at that little landing spot 5 miles across the abyss, and we look at our little plastic and wax and paper wings, and we sort of flap a little bit. Speaking of Icarus, the journal that we're giving away a subscription for, we flap our little wings, and we go, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to make it. And we do. So I have faith in my listeners. I have faith in all of our listeners in getting us to where we have to go. Now, back to my stuff. I received some more wonderful letters and a postcard this week from some wonderful people. Let me thank them personally. People responding to the show on the Black Madonna, which was the show that I last did. I did a history, a Jungian sort of psychological history, and a historical history, not to be redundant, of the Black Madonna, the phenomenon of the Black Madonna. And one school of thought, the Jungian school, is very different than the historical school, saying that she is actually a misrepresentation or an evolution of the representation of the goddess Isis. And that one letter I got was from Joe from Queens. Then I got two letters. Someone got very carried away. Oliver from Queens as well, writing to me about the Anais Nin show and the Black Madonna show. And let me answer Oliver by saying, yes, I did get a chance to visit Anais Nin's apartment in Manhattan. I didn't get a chance to go up into the physical apartment, but I did get a chance to stand outside and gaze longingly at the windows of the apartment. She lived at 215 West 13th Street, which is between 7th and 8th Avenues. And I got a chance to go over there last week. She lived on the top floor. She talks about it rather extensively in the second volume, I believe, of her diaries. And she was playing the bohemian artist, writer, and mother of all when she was living there. And I got to see it. And one of the lovely things was there is a vine that covers this the fire escapes of this five or six story apartment building over there. It's a small sort of a, well, it's larger than a brownstone. I don't know what you would call it, a row house, perhaps. And the vine is all blooming, and it's all over it, and it's a wisteria vine, which blooms, I think, supposedly every 7 years. And this year it's blooming a lot. I see it a lot out in my little town in Jersey. And it blooms with a pale purple, drooping, sort of a beaded flower. It's incredibly lovely. So that was all in bloom, and I stood there for a good 5 or 10 minutes trying to remember the passages in the diary that had to do with that apartment. And it was very, very lovely. I also got a postcard that is a picture of two very strange-looking rabbits a la Matt Groening, except it's not by Matt Groening, it's by someone named Kimball Mead. And that's from Richard from the Bronx. And I have to thank him as well for sending me such a nice thing. I collect postcards, in case you folks didn't know. Now, one thing I am going to do is I'm going to give the address and solicit some more mail. If anyone would like to write to me or send me a postcard, of which I am particularly fond, any kind of postcard, except a plain one, unless you draw on it. I like people who draw on postcards. I do that myself, actually, sometimes when I'm no artist, but sometimes I'll just put some colors onto a plain 17-cent postcard and send it off to somebody. The address here is 505 8th Avenue, New York, 10018. And my name is Sharon, Sharon, Griffiths, Griffiths, as in Sam. And the show's name is Heresy, H-E-R-E-S-Y. Not hearsay, not hersay, heresy. And one of the reasons I named it that is because I knew with my particular brand of philosophy that I was going to get it from both sides, or from all sides. For speaking heresy, I would get it from the established feminist movement, because I don't subscribe to their particular brand of philosophy. I would get it from the male establishment, who thinks I am being segregated and prejudicial towards or against men. So I knew that I would just get it from all over, so I figured, why not call it what it is before anybody gets to me? And BAI is on the 19th floor, so if you put 505 8th Avenue, WBAI, 19th floor, it should get to me very well. And I do come in between shows and pick up my mail, and if people ask me, well, what was that book or what was that record, I am, for this particular incarnation of me on the radio, I am together enough to go home after a show and put together a playlist, including the records I've played, the songs from the records, and the pieces of literature that I read. Now, I'm running off at the mouth here. It's almost 5:30, and I have two lovely pieces of fiction to read for you, seeing as that today is Mother's Day. Remember to call up Mom today if you can, if she's still here on this earthly plane, and if not, for heaven's sakes, think about her. And thank her for all that she's done for you, and hopefully that was a lot, and it was good stuff that she did for you. I know that there are people out there who have incredibly strange relationships with their mother that have gone on for many years. But today's a good day to call a truce and smoke the peace pipe and, you know, just say hi. You don't have to say too much more than that. You don't even have to go so far as to say thank you. But remember her today anyway. And I have these two stories that deal with motherhood from two very incredibly talented women. I will read those. I see that my voice is actually working. I can also put on a cut of music and go out and get some hot tea, which is something that helps it quite a bit. I will be doing that shortly. I have one more announcement before I... Well, actually, I have one dedication, and then I will make one more announcement before I go on to the meat of the show, or the good, honest, fibrous root pulp of the show for you vegetarians out there. I would like to thank some very great women out there who made my birthday, which was 2 weeks ago, a very, very nice day. And they're very neat and very wonderful. And this is a song that I thought of for them when I was sitting on their deck out in the night air 2 weeks ago. And they were actually singing to me, 36-year-old person. They were singing to me happy birthday. One of them is exceedingly mushy about birthdays, so she got a little carried away. And this is for you guys, and thanks a lot.
Girls are sitting out by the pool. Quite a few live in Malibu. They've got the sandwiches in their igloo cooler. The guys are laying out. They're pretty buff dudes. Me, I'm working on my tan too. Every day we get up at 5, jump in the pool, practice our butterfly, swimming till we're dead, then run to the showers, shampoo each other's heads. Jen, Jenny, Tana, Pam, and Debbie. Are some of the girls. Jen, Jenny, Tana, Pam, and Debbie. Are some of the girls. I've always been one of the dudes with my flat top and my combat. Now I'm learning all the thrills come with wearing espadrilles. Jen, Jenny, Tana, Pam, and Debbie. They're trying to get me to shave my legs. Jen, Jenny, Tana, Pam, and Debbie. Shave my legs, no way.